This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إنما ينفعنا ونفعنا بما علمتنا إنك سميع مجيب الدعاء. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع وقلب لا يخشع ونفس لا تشبع ودعاء لا يسمع. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي يا ربي أمين. So we're gonna continue inshallah. The way I'm gonna do is we're gonna continue with the القلب السليم, and then I'm gonna probably finish around 3 o'clock the material. Then I'll give you half an hour to questions and answers. Probably if you want, that's your choice, is we can stop the recording at question and answer so you feel more comfortable, if that's how you like. I will leave it to you. So who can tell me what did we learn? The signs of the sound heart. Bismillah. Ah, everyone is cheating, but that's okay. Okay. At least you have it written, so I'm fine. Bismillah. Yes. I love that. If we commit a sin, because this is very important for our daily life. When I commit a sin and I feel bad about it, you have a good heart. However, I will add one thing because this may be misunderstood. When you feel bad about it, the question has to come. What? What did you do about it? What did you do about the feeling? Did you change? Did you follow with a good deed? Istighfar, asking Allah for forgiveness. So for example, it's something you looked at and you shouldn't look at. You know you do, you shouldn't. I mean, obvious, it's not like something doubtful or maybe. Clear haram. Clear, and I use the word haram. And you know what? We got weak and you looked. It came out, maybe you didn't even look for it. It just came out. And then you looked and then you liked it. Nafs, desire. And I kept looking. When I finished, in me, there is guilt feeling. Why did I look? Why did I keep looking? Why didn't I turn it off? Very good news. Heart is alert. Like, you know, when you are, remember this all the time, so you remember, like, always combine it with real life, and it will become much easier. You know, you're doing a diet, and you're being very good on it, and suddenly you ate a donut. You ate a donut. You liked it, and you enjoyed it. But then afterward, why did I do that? You've been a good girl for 6 weeks or 8 weeks. Why is that? That's good news. Now, for sins, you have to follow it up with the followings. Otherwise, the heart will die. The heart will become sick and then will die. Two things. Immediately. I want to hear it. You ask Allah for forgiveness. Immediately. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait, let me finish what I'm doing. Immediately. Paul, this is like, Ya Allah, please forgive me. Any words of istighfar, do it. Astaghfirullah, la ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Anything you know. You don't know anything, just say, Ya Allah, please forgive me. One. Two, which is very important. Hiya, Zamzam. I can't hear you. No, not the second sign, I'm sorry. The second thing, when you do a sin, when we sin, first, you felt it, you know it is wrong, you know it's haram. Don't eat yourself, because that's one way of shaitan. So number one, you ask Allah for forgiveness. Second, follow it with a good deed. هذا هو اتبع السيء الحسنة تمحوها. That's what he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام. Follow a bad deed with a good deed. It will remove it. So what do you do? Let's say we backbited. And then you left that gathering. I was like, why did I say this? Right? I'm backbiting, there's no different opinion about it. Right? Then you're going to ask Allah for forgiveness and you're going to do something for this person, he or she, to defend them. If there is no opportunity right away, put your hands up and make dua for them the way you do dua for yourself. Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, forgive her. Ya Allah, give me Jannat al-Firdaus. Ya Allah, give her Jannat al-Firdaus. You're fine. So the first thing is you feel pain when you disobey Allah. Good. Second, hiya, Zamzam. Just say it, whatever, and I'll go. You are moving away from living in this life to Jannah, as if you are living in the Akhirah. And the Akhirah, meaning, we're sitting like this now, right? If I'm a person focused on Akhirah, Let's practice it. I'm a person focused on Akhirah. I have a sound heart. I'm sitting in this beautiful gathering. What is in my mind? If I'm looking at everybody, I was like, oh, she's beautiful. She's this. She's that. Not al-qalb al-salim. We're an amazing gathering. But what should come in my mind right away? Many things, but just give me one thing. I'm sorry?
Take some good things from here. And
say, raise your hand and say it.
I said, take all the good things, whatever we have heard, and then try to practice them.
It's true, but I'm talking about seeing you all, because I want you to start living Tusky in your daily life. In your daily life. You're in a good gathering, right? Whether you were invited, whether like this, a good gathering. You learned well, you felt you were pushed or pulled up. What should come to your mind? Many things, but just give me one thing. Yeah, but you're not thinking of Akhirah. You're all saying right, but you're not thinking of Akhirah. Remember the second one, that person always thoughts is around Akhirah. So here I am. What in my Akhirah? Yes. Exactly. Like here I am, we are all here. Ya Allah, look at the dua. Ya Allah, just like you gathered me here with this beautiful company, all are eager to learn about you and come closer to you. Ya Allah, please give it to me in Jannah. Then you are focused. Did you see? It's not, you don't need someone to remind you. You keep reminding yourself. Everything you do, you see, connected with Akhirah. For example, you go to the beach. Beautiful city, you're going there to walk on the beach. Beautiful. How am I going to do this for Akhirah? Yes, I'm going to say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. But for Akhirah, I'm going to say Ya Allah. For example, this is something comes to my mind when I see the beach. You gave me all this beauty. Ya Allah, don't deprive me of the beauty of Jannah. Done. And this way, you're all. This is what it means. Yartahilu ala dunya. Move away from dunya. Doesn't mean they don't live. We live. We have to live. Live. We take care of our children, family, work, everything. But we are always connecting it with akhirah. And this, you know what the result of it? I will have no time for people. I will not be focused on people. Our biggest distraction is people. True or false? Right? I don't have time for that. I'm focusing on my akhirah. So number two, move away from dunya. As I am moving in dunya, you know, I told you earlier, I'm getting close to my death, and I say I'm getting closer to my Jannah. Inshallah. Three. Okay, cheat sheet. Whatever you wrote is okay. I'll accept it. Yes.
Someone who desires an act of obedience more than like the person who's hungry.
Exactly. Alhamdulillah, you remember this because of the example. Somebody, the person with a pure heart, desire the act of obedience more than a hungry person. Desire for food. So you are here and you say, Alhamdulillah, what time is Asr? It's not like, okay, so I'll leave before that. La. You're going to say, Alhamdulillah, Asr in another hour. هذا الرباط فذاك الرباط. This is what he said عليه الصلاة والسلام. When you wait for salah after salah, everything what you are looking for is the obedience of Allah. You're happy. You now I'm going to use the word, but again for us to analyze. Acts of obedience is not a burden. It's not a burden. When we pray, what we normally say, Alhamdulillah, صليت. Alhamdulillah, I finished. Right? That's not somebody in love. Because when you are in love with someone, you don't want to stop talking to them. They say, I'm sorry, I have to go. Oh, really? Or you say, I'm sorry, but it's 2 o'clock. Why does the 2 o'clock came so quickly? Because you're in love. Right? So that's how it is. The person with al-qalb al-saneem. What I want you all to do, ask Allah to give it to you. Make it part of your dua. Allahumma tahhir qalbi mimma siwak. Ya Allah, purify my heart from anything but you. That's al-qalb al-saleem. Make a dua, and Allah can do it. Allah can do it. The one who brought you or made you Muslim, or you are a Muslim, or changed you, or made you more practicing, made you come, he can do it. It's not a big deal for him, subhanahu. Ma dhalika Allahi bi'aziz. Like, what's next? What is about what? worries about Allah only. Worries about Allah. Are you pleased with me? You know what we say? You go for a gathering, right? No, you invite people to your home. Very common. It's weekend. I'm sure you have either yesterday or today or tomorrow. When the guests leave, what is your worry? Huh? True. Cleaning up. But let's assume you had an amazing guest, which I recently had. They cleaned everything before they left. Honestly. I was like, Rabbi, I'm inviting them every day. When they leave, what are you thinking? Right? You're thinking about, you know, were they happy? If you are a good human being, did I serve them well? Did I give them their due right? Right? If you are, I was like, okay, if you are really focused on them, right? I don't know what they will talk about me when they leave. I hope. Then you are distracted. It should be. Ya Allah, please accept it. On the Day of Judgment, I invited these people. And those people were practicing. We prayed together. I did my best to feed them. Ya Allah, please forgive me if I did not give them their due right the way that pleases you. Are you all with me? It is all connected to him. Goes through this circle. I don't see you. I see you, but I don't see you. I see him, Subhanah, send you, made me invite you, helped me, or the other way around. They really gave you a hard time. And sometimes people come to your home just to make your life difficult. True or false? They exist. May Allah not make us among that. And they left. And you said to yourself, this is it. No more. They're not coming to my house. You didn't see what Allah wanted from you. Why did Allah allow you to invite them? Why did Allah unleash them against me in my house? So what should be my reaction? Talking to him. What did I do, Ya Allah? Please forgive me. Did you get my point? This is how tartahil an ad-dunya. This is how your worry. This is all, by the way, is one. And they are, the Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he separated, but it's all around one. Everything around you is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, very recently, somebody was saying this to me. She was listening to this verse in Surah Al-Insan. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We don't want any gratefulness from you or any reward. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about those people in Jannah. Special place in Jannah. What did they do? They used to feed people, help people, and they say, we don't need anything from you. Meaning, we're doing it only for Allah. And they were sincere because Allah gave them the reward. So she said, as I was hearing this, I asked Allah to make me among them. Look at the woman. This was a woman. And she said, Subhanallah, he answered. I said, what do you mean? She said, less than a week, somebody needed help. 99% of the people didn't do it. And I said, I'll do it. And she did it. And that person who she helped, which is true, and she was telling me what she did, absolutely in this day and age, most people will not do it. And actually, people look at you and say, are you crazy? This is how it is. And she said, I did it. And that person at the end did not even say thank you. And I said, you said it to Allah. You said it to Allah. Make me among those people who they feed the needy and they don't want from them. Exactly the word. لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. We don't want you to be grateful. We don't want any reward. He responded, why you are upset? And she didn't think of it this way. And I was like, you should be very happy. If you got upset she didn't say thank you, then you were not truthful with Allah. So here you go. Did you get my point? Everything is around him in your daily life. You're not going to change. You're not going to be a saint living in that mountain. That's not Islam. Islam is a day of daily living. Okay, what else? Time management, we stopped at that. Time is, we grew up in the Arab world some of you here, you know, الْوَقْتُ كَالسَّيْفِ إِنْ لَمْ تَقْطَعْهُ قَطَعَكَ. This is like I think in second or third grade when they taught us this. They said, time is like a sword. If you are not going to use it, it will use you. Meaning, if you're not going to cut it, the sword will cut you. For us these days, everybody is talking about time management. Anytime especially young people, young professionals, youth, what do you want to talk about? Time management. Okay, what is time management? What is time management? This is time management. أن يكون, سبحان الله, أن يكون أشح بوقته أن يذهب ضائعا من أشد الناس شحا بماله. The person with a pure heart, look at time as their asset. And they are so worried that they're not going to waste their asset way more than a person who's so miser and don't waste their money. That's a qalb salim. Look at our time. Again, I'm saying we spend the time in halal. I'm not talking about haram. Had a different story completely from A to Z. But in halal. In halal. We spend 3-4 hours cooking. 3-4 hours cooking. Am I correct? Right? I can give you a list of, in every country, list of a dish that takes 3-4 hours and you eat it within 3 seconds. Right? Or you spend 3-4 hours surfing the internet because you want to buy this car and you go through every single detail and you know, and you're absolutely fine with it. Someone look at you and says, can you do a 2 units of salah? They say, what? 30 minutes? Are you out of your mind? I said, why? It's just 30 minutes. You spend 3 hours in the kitchen feeding people or buying something for yourself, or at work, preparing for a deadline project. Hours and hours. But when it comes to the actions with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? I think I shared with you this. I lived it last Ramadan. When I went to that masjid, the night, first night of Ramadan, my friend was telling me, this imam starts tahajjud from the first night. I said, okay, alhamdulillah, I'll go. She said, but I'm going to tell you. He prayed long, but she didn't give me any idea. I said, okay, alhamdulillah. What's long for us? يعني 15 minutes, a ruqa, يعني I'm done. Right? When is he going to say Allahu Akbar? So I go in, and she said, he starts either 12:15 or 12:30. So I was there. I remember the time because there is a reason why I remember the time. So I went in and I looked and it was 12, maybe 17, but he was already started. And he started Baqarah. 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 Honestly. First juz. I said, that's it. Khalas. He finished the first juz. Second juz, going on. I said, okay, he's going to stop at the ayat of fasting. It's Ramadan. Fasting, Hajj, finished. Second. Okay? And then when did he say Allahu Akbar? Finished al-Baqarah. The imam is more than 65-year-old. I know him. He's a very well-known in the world. He goes for ruku'ah. What is the ruku'ah? You know how the ruku'ah is long? You know how you know the ruku'ah is long? Is when the imam, when he says, Sami Allahu liman hamida, the whole masjid say, ah. That's exactly how it is. Upstairs, we were at least, I will say maybe 100 women. No children, nobody is running around. And you talk about salah khushu in a masjid, go there. Because the people don't come because they know how long he pray. Second ruqa. Second ruqa, Ali Imran. Finished it all. 4 ajza and a half in 2 units. I looked when he finished. I looked up. It was 2:10. 2:10. You know what came to my mind? Why he can do it, I cannot. Why? What is the difference? You tell me I don't know the Quran. Somebody will say, open the Quran in front of you. I don't know if the Quran was in front of him. I know he's a very well hafiz, but open the Quran in front of you and read it. He has the himmah. Because he said a note in the second ruk'ah, second day I went, and he was starting Surah Al-An'am. Surah Al-An'am is very challenging in every bit you can say. And he finished it completely in one ruk'ah. Again, we are used to this. So after he finished, he sat and he said, my plan was not to finish Surah Al-An'am in one ruk'ah. Yeah, because the second he did half al-Araf. He said, my plan was not to finish Al-An'am, but subhanAllah, the barakah of Surah Al-An'am. I just kept reading. What is this? This is real. This is last Ramadan. This is not something you read in books. And I was there. It's not someone told me. I was there behind him. Finished. Fajr was 5. He finished by 4. He started at 12. What is this? And then he was telling us, one day I was in Medina and I had really back pain and I put a belt around me and I said, I am going to sit. And I said, no, let's get the chair. Let me stand up. And then if I get tired or back pain, and I said, Ya Allah, by the blessings of Surah Al-An'am, I am going to start reading. He said, I finished all An'am, I was standing. Time management. And Allah will ask us, شَبَابَهُ فِيمَا أَفْنَا. What did you do with your time? 4 hours on the internet, we have no issue. You said, oh, subhanAllah, I didn't pay attention. It's 4 hours. Because you like it. And that's the dua you have to make. اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ حُبَّكَ وَحُبَّ كُلَّ مَنْ يُحِبُّكَ وَحُبَّ كُلَّ عَمَلٍ يُقَرِّبُونِ إِلَى حُبِّكَ. I ask you to love me. I ask you for your love and the love of everyone that loves you and the love of every deed that's going to bring me closer to you. That's al-qalb al-salim. We need to practice it. We need to practice it. This is what I say to myself. If someone can do it, we can do it. Allah didn't give that sheikh 5 hearts or 7 eyes or 3 legs. Nothing. Subhanallah. And we finished at 4. I remember very well. It was Thursday night. So I looked at my friend and I said, will he lead Fajr? She said, yeah, he will. Okay. I said, let's come back for Fajr. Jumu'ah, Friday morning. So I said, he's going to read Qul wa Qul. Right? He prayed 4 hours in the night. At all. First ruk'ah is a sajda, the sunnah. Second ruk'ah is an insan. It's about half a juz. And then afterwards he sat and he gave us a talk. Ya Rahman. You know why is that? The energy is from Allah. The energy is not from us. It's from, and she said, all Ramadan, this is how it is. Wallahi, I couldn't believe it. SubhanAllah. This is in, it's in Qatar. It's a new mosque. I can't remember the name. It's one of the new ones close to the ocean. I can't remember. It's a family one. I can't remember. But if you ask the mosque that the imam reads very long, it's the only one. You're honest. Yeah, it's amazing. It's phenomenal. This is phenomenal. Yani, literally, this is yani, a little bit shorter than when the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam read. Right? This famous story of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud was behind him. He read Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran, and Nisa. So he was a little bit shorter. SubhanAllah. So time. Now, let's come to reality and practicality. We need to have a time. And everybody in this room depends on you and your life. A time with Allah. I call it my private time with Allah. Who usually the best time is in the morning, before Fajr. Everyone is sleeping, no distractions, life is quiet. These days, 5:45, wake up at 5. 5 is nothing. Sit down on that sajjada. Do 2 rukat. Talk to Allah. In your sujood, ask Him, Ya Rabbi, what you gave that imam, give me. Ya Allah, don't deprive me from this and this. Ask for dunya, there's nothing wrong. But don't forget your akhirah also. Time management. Time your salah. Don't leave and you have done Fajr for 2 minutes. Yani wallahi, I should be ashamed of myself. 2 minutes salah. 2 minutes and I sit on the internet for 4 hours or in the kitchen or at work. See, when Allah is the focus, the time is not an issue. When Allah is not the focus or the less focus, that's what happens. Number 7, I think. Am I right? 7. That's what I have here. Yeah, because I... Now, back to Salah. Back to Salah. When you are upset or sad or not going through a good day, if you make wudu and go, or it's time for Salah and you did your Salah, and when you left from the Salah, you're feeling better, your heart is sunned. Salah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this. Salah is a medication Allah gave us to feel better. A medication Allah gave us to feel better. We don't look at Salah this way. We look at Salah as a burden. And even in the non-Arab world, they call it reading Salah. What does reading Salah mean? Is that a book? And Allah never said, اقرأوا الصلاة in the Quran. He never said, read the Salah. You go and look in the old translation. What did he say? أقيموا الصلاة. Perform Salah. Do Salah. Perform. You know perform? If you're a public speaker, people train you to perform. And they give you 1, 2, 3, 4. Perform it. And what does Allah want in my performance? He wants my heart. He does, you know, I mean, this is beautiful about Salah. When I learned this, Ya Allah, what happened to me? And this is actually, it's a hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. When we say Allahu Akbar, they say Allah is in front of you. Now again, in a way, we don't know how. He is in front of us, listening to us. The moment you start thinking of something else, Allah move away and says, where did you go? To something better than me? إِلَىٰ أَيْنِ إِلَىٰ خَيْرٍ مِّنِّي. Where did you go? The job, the thinking, the people, the money, whatever. You know, we all. Now, we cannot be 100% focused, otherwise we're going to be angels. But at least if this comes to my mind, I'll bring myself back. So Salah for me should be the recipe, the medication, the friend I call. I want to vent. You know, we all say this. I didn't mean that, I just want to vent. And I say, go and vent to Allah. Vent to Allah. He listen. And He will make you feel better, believe me. So Salah for that person is the place where all the worries and the sadness will go away. And he feels in it is the freshness or the coolness of the eye. As the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةَ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. And it was made to me that my happiness and coolness of my eyes is in salah. You have to make a dua in this. Allahumma ja'al qurrata 'ayni fi salah. Ya Allah, make salah an act that will make me feel good. As simple as this. Make a dua for yourself. You know what I say? You deserve it. You deserve it. I'm just not working for it. Meaning I deserve it, meaning it's possible. And why not? But I'm not working for it. It's not a priority. I want to change this. Number 8, which you said it, I think, earlier, أَنْ لَا يَفْتُرْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّ. You're always in a state of dhikr. State of dhikr when you made this dua. Your state of dhikr when you felt bad because you said this or did this and said, Ya Allah, please make it easy. Your state of dhikr when you come in here and says, Ya Allah, make me grateful for having this beautiful place. You are in dhikr. You are in dhikr when you went out and as you are pulling your car back, somebody else is pulling the car back and you stopped and gave them the way. And you said, Ya Allah, I did this for you. I want to see my reward in the day of judgment. You are in dhikr. Did you get it? It's not dhikr always you're sitting doing that car. People, it's not realistic. You are here in the masjid. Again, here in the masjid. And you're in dhikr of Allah, as I said, adhan, you are listening and you're saying the same thing. You are in between the adhan and the iqama, either praying or making or reading Quran or doing. Or you saw someone, you came in here and you saw somebody, for example, needs help, looking for a chair. You run and get the chair. They didn't ask you. You run and bring the chair and says, Ya Rabbi, I did this because you taught me. When I make the life easy of somebody, you will make my akhirah easy. That's dhikr of Allah. Are you all with me? It's a part of my life. The dhikr is part of my life. Everything I do, is it connected with Allah and I'm speaking to Him. And may Allah give us this, Ya Rabbi Ameen. Number 9, and I think this is the last one here. Yeah, it's usually it's a 12, but here in the book they put only 9. Number 9 is you don't worry about the you did it. You worry about you did it perfectly. Any act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't worry about Alhamdulillah salih, Alhamdulillah I prayed, Alhamdulillah I fasted, Alhamdulillah I controlled my tongue, Alhamdulillah I didn't answer. For example, you're going to ask yourself perfection. The Muslim is a man of, or a woman of perfection with Allah. We want everything perfect in dunya, but we don't worry about perfection in akhirah. True or false? How many of you wants to have a house, owns a house? If you already own it, you always wanted to. Show me hands. The young people, you all want, right? It's a huge dream in California. True? To own your own house. And you don't want just a two-bedroom apartment. Yeah, at least, ya Rabbi, three-bedroom. Right? Nothing wrong with that, halal. Why not in akhirah? Why not in akhirah? Why I hear from people, let me get to Jannah, Allah Kareem. Why? La wallahi, I want Jannah al-Firdaus and the biggest castle in Jannah, like I wanted here. But it doesn't come free of charge. Nothing comes free of charge. Do you get a house here free of charge? Somebody's just going to call you and says, you know what? Oh, guess what? You have a house? Oh, I wish. You're going to say this is spam. So here you go. You worry about not only doing it, but the quality. This is the difference between you and me and you. You will be in, your neighbor will be Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and I will be struggling in the first level of Jannah. But we both prayed. We both said La ilaha illallah. We both fasted Ramadan. What is the difference? Is the quality. Is the person who stand up and pray. Let's say the man who just I shared with you is the same that when I pray Isha or Tahajjud 2 minutes. Is the same reward. Of course it will be higher. So pay attention to the quality. We worry about quality of everything in life, but we don't worry about the quality of the deeds of Akhirah. And we need, and this is something for everybody, we need to help each other to do this. And I say this always to people. Shaitan is very active. Umay nafs is very active. Don't be number 3. On the contrary, I want you to help me to go against my nafs. And I want you to help me to go against shaitan. Don't tell me it's okay. No, I don't want someone to tell me okay. Because my nafs is already saying okay. 10 people are saying okay. I want somebody to look at me and says, really? Is that it? That's it? Is that what you can do? You do everything perfect. But then when it comes to Allah, that's what you can do? I want that person. I want someone to wake me up. I don't want somebody to just pamper me and says, you're okay, mashallah. Because that's what I say to myself. Are you all with me? This is how we change. When we really care about each other. I remember very well, it was one of the really statements that affected me, was a mother actually, begging her son to wake up for Fajr. And she said, I said this to him. I said, if I remember well, what did she say? I asked her, I said, you wake him up. Did he wake up? She said, no. I said, what did you do? She said, I thought, and then I was upset, the mother. And she said, I said to Allah, I am not going to say anything because I don't want him to answer me badly. And then he will go under uquq. He will go under not treating parents well. So I kept quiet. She cares about Allah, she cares about the son. That he didn't wake up, now if she's gonna go and keep, she knows he has a temper also, the son. I know the family. But this is a person who is what? Again, focused on Allah. This is all, the true heart. If you're gonna leave today with one word from everything we talked about, true heart is the heart that is focused on Allah. Inward and outward. Inward and outward. And I say this, remind myself before everyone. When we are all seeing what is happening in Gaza, has anyone asked himself or herself and say, why not me? Why I am not in Gaza? Why I'm sitting here in the comfort? We always say, why not, why me, when something not good happened to us, right? But why not me? That's because fadlullahi alayya and alaykum. That's because of the grace of Allah upon me and you. Not because we are special. The people of Gaza, Allah knows, is way more special from what we have seen. And may Allah lift all the difficulty they are going through. So al-qalb al-sareem, memorize this. Start by one. I wouldn't say perfect, but it became habit. Move to the second, move to the third. If you fail, don't give up. Keep going. Keep asking Allah. Keep asking Allah. One of the du'as, I can't remember who taught me, and I always say to Allah, Ya Rabbi, la tansani idha nasitak. Ya Allah, don't forget get me when I forget you. Because if Allah doesn't forget me, He'll bring me back. He'll pull me. I forget Him. We all forget Him. Dunya takes us. But when He does not give up on me, and when He doesn't forget me, He will bring me back. Like the young man I told you in the plane. Oh, this is amazing. I'm going to write a book about this. It's how Allah operated, subhanAllah. So don't give up on yourself and keep working on your relationship with Allah. Keep working on your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do we get sick? If we were born, as we said in the beginning, we are born with the pure heart of a baby. Why do we get sick? This is the hadith you all have to remember. Hadith on Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, just so you know, is a sahabi, a well-known companion, but he has a special character. He is the only companion. His name is Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. The only companion, only. Not Sayyidina Abu Bakr, not Sayyidina Umar, none of those. Who Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam entrusted him with the names of the hypocrites in Medina. That after Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam died, Sayyidina Umar used to go to him and say, by Allah, is my name in the list. Sayyidina Umar. SubhanAllah. So he said the following, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said the following, why do we get sick? The answer is this hadith. Give me your heart, all of you. And I'll say it in Arabic and I'll translate. تُعْرَضُ الْفِتَنْ عَلَى الْقَلْبِ أَوْ عَلَى الْقُلُوبِ كَعَرْضِ الْحَصِيرِ عُودًا عُودًا. Temptations. This is not trials, it's temptations. I like it, I love it. The usual. Temptations will be presented to the human being heart like a reed mat is woven, stick by stick. Have you ever knit? Any of you? Knitting? Right? One by one. To make a whole big, huge blouse, you start with one. Knit, knit. Every time you knit or you see someone knitting, remember this hadith. That's how you live it. Uda and uda. Let me finish the hadith and I'll explain it to you. It becomes, bi-idhnillah, easy. فَأَيَّ قَلْبٍ أُشْرِبُهَا نُكْتَتْ فِيهِ نُكْتَةً سَوْدَى. Any heart that will accept this temptation, it will be imprinted in the heart. One by one. Imprinted in the heart a dark or a black spot. One by one. Till the heart. حَتَّى تَعُودِ الْقُلُوبِ وَمَنْ أَنْكَرَهَا نُكْتَتْ فِيهِ نُكْتَةً بَيْضَى. And the one who rejects the temptation, a white spot is going to be imprinted in the heart. حَتَّى تَعُودِ الْقُلُوبَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبَيْنِ. Till this is going to continue in the morning, in the evening, last year, today, tomorrow, continue. Then the heart will become one of two. حَتَّى تَعُودِ الْقُلُوبَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبَيْنِ. قَلْبٌ أَسْوَدْ. A black heart. A black dust-colored like a vessel. قَلْبٌ أَسْوَدْ. And this is very sophisticated Arabic word. مَرْبَاءً كَالْكُوزِ مُجَخِيَ. The heart will become black. Think of it. Vase. Cup. Glass. Right? Dirty, 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 dirty. You look at the glass is black. And he said, what is the sign? I'm not going to look at the heart and it's black. What is going to be? He's going to be exactly like a cup, like a glass, upside down. Not recognizing good and not rejecting evil. And the opposite, when the temptation is being presented, and I'll share with you a couple of examples, but let me make sure you all understood the hadith. When there is temptations has been presented, you rejected it. White dot, white dot, white dot. Because temptations is daily, if not every hour, if not every minute. daily, the heart becomes white. White. وَالْقَلْبُ أَبْيَضُ لَا تَضُرُّهُ فِتْنَةٌ. Once the heart becomes white, no temptation will get into you anymore. Are you all? This is in Muslim. What does this mean? Now let's live it. Who can give me an example? Real example from daily life. Think of something this morning. Anything. Anybody. Really? What is this? You have no temptations at all? Really? MashaAllah. No temptations? I doubt it. The problem is if you didn't know it was temptation, that's a disaster. Temptation. And usually temptations is in the negative quotation, and it's a negative way. Yes. I can't hear you. So somebody is talking to me in an insulting way and I really wanted to respond and then I kept it. Okay, that's fine, but I'm talking about bigger temptations.
I wanted to see
لا هذه ذات level يا كنيز. Let them get up for Fajr. I am fine if they sleep after Fajr, but let them get up for Fajr. Temptations.
Having too much food.
This is a higher level. And I'm talking about basics. And I don't have a heart to qalb al-saleem yet, so too much food or sleep after Fajr. I am not. I am still struggling. What is temptation? No, just a second. The phone is not always temptation. All of us, half of what we do is on the phone. So you turn the phone and you really wanted to check, let's say, what's happening in Gaza. Is that anything wrong with it? Nothing. What is the easiest way? I don't want to go into news. Let's go on Instagram and let's see what people posted. You're near? Perfect. So you went. What usually happens? You start scrolling. And every scroll is a temptation. Because in between every or two or three about whether Gaza or about whatever you are looking for, an ad comes up. Right? And not always haram. Ads about something to buy. It's a temptation. I don't need it. I don't have the money. I'm in debt. Right? Or it's something haram. Period. So what are you going to have? Now the heart, urid. Now you're knitting. Are you all with me? Knitting. So now the thread is there. The thread is that what you are seeing. What is my response? I kept reading, or I kept looking, let alone I saved it, let alone I forwarded it, your heart absorbed it. Black spot. Versus, I looked, but then I said, no. This is not gonna, I shouldn't do this. And moved. Rejected it. Are you all with me? Rejected. Now it's a white spot. Don't justify it. Don't say it is okay. I say this to myself. It is not okay. I would love to say okay, but it is not. Because that's the sequence. Are you now? You know, what is the sequence? Because sometimes this is what I hear from many people. Don't make it too complicated. What did I do? It's just a one thing. The one thing is a black dot. And the black dot will open the door for another black dot. You know why? Because haram is beautiful. And haram, we like it. And haram is easy. Why I'm saying this? It's not my word. That's what shaitan promised Allah. لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. I'm going to beautify this earth for them. وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And I am going to lure them all. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Except those who are truthful. So when he made a promise in front of Allah, that's what happens to you and me. Many ways. I'm going to come from the front, from the back, from the right, from the left. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكَرِينَ. Majority of them are ungrateful. So two things you take with you from this hadith. Know what temptation is. Don't say it is okay. It has sequence on the heart. Everything is first internal, then it shows up external. And number two, rejected as much as you can. You turn to Allah and says, Ya Allah, make it easy. The best way to not fall into temptations, you know what? You ask Allah to make you hated. Right? I had somebody the other day says, oh, I hate chocolate. And I was like, what a lucky person you are. You really don't like chocolate? He said, no. So this person, that chocolate is not a temptation. But the majority of us, chocolate is temptation. It's not haram. I'm just giving you examples. So what? I don't want to eat chocolate. I said, Ya Allah, remove the love of chocolate from my heart. Then it's not a temptation. So pay attention, as probably the books that many of you, this is actually what it is. Sins has sequences. This is one of them. When I disobey Allah and I succumb and surrender to the temptation, one dot. And think of that beautiful glass, crystal that Allah gave me when I was born. And I gradually made it dirty till it becomes completely black, and I didn't care about any opening, cleaning, cleansing. This is a cleansing. Istighfar is cleansing. Salah is cleansing. Crying, begging Allah is cleansing. So now we know why the hearts become sick. And the problem is many of us, even society, justify it. Justify temptations. It's okay. What is wrong with that? And we apply it to our youth. And one yes, or one okay, leads to another okay, or leads to another okay. Are you all with me? We really need each individual. And by the way, I'm glad Allah made me remember this. When we speak about tazkiyah, you never, look at what I'm saying, never think of someone you know. Then you missed it. All this is about you as an individual, about me. I'm not going to say, oh, I know that person. Don't worry about that person. You don't know what they did after they made the mistake. They probably will be in front of me, way ahead of me in Jannah, and I'm looking. When we talk about tazkiyah, we talk about ourselves. Me. Am I that person? Am I that person when temptations comes? The biggest temptations for us women is what? Stalking. One person start talking and on. And especially if what they are saying, that person I don't love, or I don't like, or I'm jealous of her or him. And they start backbiting. This came honey in my ear. That's a temptation. I didn't think that this is disobedient to Allah. Finally, alhamdulillah, I'm not the only one who think of her this way. This is how we justify it. And I go on and on, and a black dot, and a black dot, and a black dot. So our goal, my goal, your goal, bi-idhnillah, is what? Is number one, I identify the temptations. I know this is I shouldn't do. And number two, and you have to ask Allah to give you the strength. The strength is extremely, this is not easy. It's easy said, but it's not easy on a daily basis. And second is to give me the strength to stay strong and defend myself, protect myself, push away these temptations. You reach a point where you're done. Khalas, you reach a point like somebody who exercises, you see still people. They exercise. Now for them, exercise is part of their life. They can't stop. Don't worry about them. That's what we need to reach bi-idhnillah. So remember this, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us. I'm going to quickly just give you headlines because of the time. There is four major poisons of the heart. Four major poisons of the heart. And the ulama of tazkiyah, they call it fudul, meaning excess. Number one is excess talking. Excess talking. Excess eating, excess interaction with people, and excess sleeping or excessive sleeping. These four kills the heart, make it very weak, cannot identify the temptations, let alone fight the temptations. Too much talking. How do you define too much talking? Sure. Too much talking, too much eating, too much interaction with people, and too much sleeping. Quickly, what is too much talking? I love this. I think it's a statement to Sayyidina Abu Huraira. He said, whenever you want to talk, don't talk. And whenever you don't feel like talking, talk. You will be in the right balance. You know, when you say, I have to go and tell her. Don't. Because you're going to be on. And does not even biting. Fudul, sometimes even it's halal, but it's too much. And when you say, how are you? I'm fine. I just don't feel like talking. Talk, because you're not going to talk much. One. Second, too much eating. What is too much eating? That's going to blow you up. That's going to blow you up. So a man came, it was Al-Hasan al-Basri, I think, or Al-Hasan ibn Ali, I don't remember. And Al-Hasan was eating. So another man came to visit him, and he said, come and join. And he said, oh no, I just ate that I cannot eat anymore. He said, subhanallah, a believer eat till he cannot eat anymore. Too much eating. And you all know the hadith, one third. I don't know how many of us apply it. Too much food. And then scholars of Tazkiyah tells you the best way to do this is to start fasting. Everyone talking about 16-hour fast, you know, or Mediterranean diet, or all this, like subhanallah. Subhanallah. Fast, minimum Monday and Thursday. Tazkiyah 3 days a week is not, 3 days a month is hard to change you. Unless you have never done it before, then yes, start by 3 days of the month, but graduate quickly. Minimum is Monday and Thursday. Because once you start fasting, you're going to eat less. In general, and your desire for the food will be killed here. What you want is the desire, the temptation to be controlled. You don't want to die of hunger, but you want it controlled. You know, I was like, okay, I need a coffee. I remember one time, one of the teachers, I said, it was 10 o'clock during the lecture, and I said, can I get you a tea? And he said, 10 o'clock, why do I need a tea? Wow. For us, everybody is carrying their cup of tea or coffee. Why? Because everybody else is doing it. Because people are making $1 million of these coffees. And I'm falling in that trap. Not as a Muslim. Not as a person who wants to go to Allah, Qalb al-Salim. And he, Qalb al-Salim, and I'm carrying the coffee all the time. $6 or $7 per day. So less food. That's why I am not in favor of, you know, having food in the masajid. No. You do it every now and then. Beautiful social gathering. But not always. Because we need to change. And how we will change if everywhere we go, feed our nafs. So less food. Practice fasting. Practice fasting. Especially these days. Very easy. Subhanallah. Three. The biggest problem. Less interaction with people. The problem is when you know too many people. And when your happiness is being with people, then you are not connected with Allah. The person of a pure heart. What time is Asr?
3:15.
3:15, okay, so we have to stop very quickly. The person who is in Tazkiyah, you reach a point where you get choked if there's too many people around you every day. Because you're missing your private moment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Less interaction. Not every invitation you have to go. Not every wedding you have to attend. Or every whatever you have. Or every day let's go and have a coffee. Let's go to this. No. Learn to love you. And spend time with you. And that's gradual will bring you. When I mean you, I mean with nothing. You only. And with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Less sleeping, they said, the person of a pure tazkiyah will not need more than 3-4 hours a day. Need. Physicians, we all say 8 hours a day. Right? And we had this discussion, they said, yeah, but it's not 8 hours continuous in the night. That's going to kill the heart. The person of tazkiyah has to be up before Fajr. And then if you feel tired, your body needs, you're sick, whatever, then you take a nap during the day, as Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam did. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us. Again, as I said in the beginning, I just literally gave you just an overview. Overview. This is usually a long course. We do it for hours, we do it for days, we do it for days actually. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yirna al-haqqa haqqan wa yurzuqna itiba'ah wa yirna al-batila batin wa yurzuqna ijtinaba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us truthful as truthfulness and show us falsehood as falsehood. Help us to follow the truth and help us stay away from falsehood. Allahumma alhim nifusana taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha. Ya Allah, give our nafs the taqwa, the pure taqwa that pleases you, and purify our nafs the way that pleases you, Ya Rabbi Ameen. We can take maybe quickly question. Yes, please.
So I remember in the beginning of the talk we talked about, for example, that the thoughts, the emotions, and the desires, therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens if, for example, you have the thought for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you have the feelings in the other direction, you have them fighting?
That's good, that's a good sign. Your heart is... So what happens if you have a feeling toward Allah, but you also have a feeling toward something else or somebody else? Is the feeling toward somebody else is bringing you closer to Allah? Perfect. If your feeling toward anything, person or thing, is taking you away from Allah, person of tazkiyah doesn't want it. I had a friend who said, she said, I promised Allah 10, 15 years ago, anything that will take me away from you, take it out of my heart. She made this dua to herself.
What I meant, like specifically, for example, like your mind, you believe in the Quran, for example, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't fear people, for example, and stuff like that. But then your emotions, you still have that fear.
You're still struggling. You have the two forces in the heart. One pulls you to Allah and one pulls you away. You need to work on this one. Usually the best way to work on this one is strengthen this one. Strengthen the good one. So the good one is strong, like you're fighting with somebody, like two people are wrestling. Who will win? The stronger one, right? So you need to strengthen the good side in you, all of us. And then this way, the evil side will be weaker. Any other question from the sisters? Yes, please.
Can you talk more about how modern science has been...
I'm sorry, I can barely hear you.
Can you talk more about how modern science has been 8 hours of sleep?
You take the 8 hours of sleep. The 8 hours of sleep is when people focus only on the body. Now people are talking mindfulness. You start hearing this last couple of years. Mindfulness, your body, your mind, your soul, right? When I focus only on the body will need the 8 hours. So they say even in the beginning, scholars of tazkiyah, if you have met them, they don't sleep more than 4 or 5 hours a day. Period. Period. They say, even if your body, then it is not in a one shot. You don't go to bed at 10 and wake up at 6, unless sick or something, but it's not your norm. You go to bed at 10, you're up by 2 or 3. Then the 3 hours that you need, you will make it as short naps. And the more you are connected with Allah in acts of worship, the body will need less sleep. You all witness this when you go to Mecca. Right? What happens? What happens? We're dead tired, jet lag, right? Very crowded, all this. But you are, no, I'm going for tawaf. Well, it's 3 o'clock, aren't you tired? No. So subhanAllah, I go for tawaf, I come out with energy. You all feel that. There is something called spiritual need and power. And we don't have that. We don't work on that. The spiritual power gives you wonder. Makes you not only feel good, but it makes you strong. You've seen it with the people of Gaza again. They have it because they are connected with Allah. So when they say things, you wonder, how did they say these things? When they act this way, how? I mean, they are human beings like you and me, because they're spiritual. And by the way, this is not the day you get the problem, you're going to start changing. No. تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Know Allah at time of ease, like now. And when the time of need comes in, he will know me and he will save me. So when science say 8, yes, but scholars of tazkiyah say it is not continuously, because it will make the body lazy and the heart much weaker. Anyone else? Anybody from upstairs? الحمد لله رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا so we'll get ready for العصر سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه تسليما كثيرا